This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome into Jaguars This Week, live on a Wednesday evening from Jaguars Central. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman. Joe Fortunato's alongside as well. We'll go till 7 o'clock straight up. Lots to talk about. You know the phone number, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Super Bowl was 10 days ago. Combine starts in 7 days. There's not much of an offseason anymore, is there?
No, we're in that little slumpy part of February, but it's not real slumpy.
Not really.
No, not for this team. With the ticket drive being a big deal, and this Team Teal thing going on, and now we got the gas gauge on Jaguars.com. It's up. Showing a quarter of a tank full. So,
and that's renewals.
That's everything. New sales. They've got good new sales.
A really strong January.
2,700. They're off and running. So it's and this team. Let's not forget this team has a coin flip coming up at the combine for the 10th or 11th spot. And I'll be covering that. I mean, that'll be big. We're going to go live to the coin flip.
And next Wednesday, you'll be there for it.
I'm saying they call heads.
You think? Well, they have the choice.
I don't know.
You were college.
Will they flip?
Let me tell you.
Flip to choose.
I don't know who gets a choice. I got to ask.
They could have a coin flip to determine who would choose, and then they could have the coin flip.
You know, right? There have been some famous coin flips.
69, right? 1969.
Yeah.
I think they should do rock, paper, scissors.
That would be something you could televise.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Tell us about the 69.
Yeah.
Coin flip.
Bears and the Steelers for the right to draft Terry Bradshaw. It was clear cut he was going to be the first pick of the draft. It was the first thing the Steelers ever won. I mean, they had just been a losing franchise all of their history, and they won the coin toss, and they got Terry Bradshaw. The Bears, of course, then had the second pick, and they traded the second pick. They traded the second pick to, Green Bay, who then used it to select Mike McCoy. Look that up if you would, who was just a guy. Oh, he was supposed to be the defensive tackle of all defensive tackles, just this huge defensive tackle, All-American from Notre Dame, and he just turned out to be an average guy in his career.
We're talking about the 1970 draft, though,
1970
right?
draft. Okay. Bradshaw, of course, won 4 Super Bowls and is arguably one of the 5 or 10 greatest quarterbacks in history. As it turned out, Mike Phipps, the quarterback from Purdue, boy, I wish my memory was a little better.
You got this right. When Green Bay, who traded with Chicago and took Mike McCoy, and then Cleveland from Miami took Mike Phipps.
Yeah, Cleveland traded with Miami into the third spot to grab Mike Phipps. Mike Phipps became a stiff. He was a zero, and which just goes to show you the value of that coin toss. I mean, if the Jaguars win that coin toss, maybe they get Terry Bradshaw, and the Broncos, of course, are the other team. Now, this was supposed to be the Bears' pick.
But you could also look at it as the value of making the right choice, because if you looked at some of the names that came after the bus in 2, 3, and 4, there had to be somebody.
No, you're right. You're right.
That did
but
good.
Let's not underestimate the value of this coin toss, because there is historical perspective here. The team that won the coin toss in 1970, for all intents and purposes, won 4 Super Bowls with that coin toss. Drafting is a science, but there's some luck in it too. And the Jaguars are looking at a coin toss that could be the difference between a top 10 pick and you know, I mean,
does that still hold the significance, though? Yeah, I mean, doesn't the cost of the top 10 still over?
Yeah, I know, but let's not forget, this is a team that wants to trade down and get that second round pick back.
But doesn't the 11th pick have more virtue?
But are you gonna, and would you even find a dancing partner anyway?
Don't forget Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, Cleveland trading out of that spot and to the Jets, I believe, and the Jets drafting Mark Sanchez cost the Jaguars a motherload in trade potential.
Move back.
Oh, I mean, if Mark Sanchez had made it down to where the Jaguars were picking, with all due respect to Eugene Monroe, I'm sure the Jaguars would have had plenty of trade offers that they would have loved to have cultivated, harvested, and gotten the extra picks that they were looking for. I mean, they would have come away with I think, more than Cleveland came away with. Because at that point, it would have been down to the desperation point. You know, if you want Mark Sanchez, and there would have been several teams competing for him at that point, you got to flip the switch now.
Or would they have stood pat and taken Sanchez?
You're absolutely right. No, you're right on. I mean, they may have very well have just stood pat and taken Sanchez. And we've seen what Sanchez can do last year. I mean, he's clearly going to be a star quarterback in this league.
Well,
I mean, did the Jets trade for a guy who's going to deliver them 4 Super Bowls? We don't know. We didn't know that Bradshaw was going to do that for the Steelers when they won that coin toss. But in effect, that's what happened. Winning that coin toss was, in effect, winning 4 Super Bowls.
Well, when you look at the value, you know, the cost, I guess from 10 to 11 isn't monumental.
No, no.
So you take it. But the only guy that really is going to drive it this year would be Clawson, right?
Yeah. Clawson and Bradford are your two guys who could drive this. But you've got pass rushers. You've got defensive, you know, big-time defensive linemen, premium position guys. A cornerback, Joe Hayden. You've got premium position guys who could command a nice trade down that would get you something.
Now, there are a lot of guys in that top 10.
What I would think? That there would be a lot of teams looking to, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the majority of the talk in the future is about a rookie, true rookie salary cap, right?
Yeah, not that bogus one they had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you could, wouldn't you really want to try to trade into the future? In other words, get future picks that would cost you less money in the future? I mean,
it's a great point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
now more than ever, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't think this team's alarm clock is set that far into the future. I think the alarm is this year.
Well, because of the ticket issue.
Yes, the ticket issue is real.
But I mean, certain teams, I'm not saying this team, but I'm just saying any team for that matter.
Well, let's look at the Broncos.
Wouldn't you rather have, you know, if assuming next year that it's truly going to be a rookie cap, a true rookie wage scale, that wouldn't you rather have next year's 10th overall pick, and I'm just throwing it out, any team, as opposed to this year's? I'd rather have next year's.
Yeah, but
because the risk is so much less if they get that passed.
This is a good crop of defensive linemen, and this team needs defensive linemen. I mean, you've got guys, you know, real defensive cornerstones.
We've got at least 4 of them in the top 10.
Yes.
The 2 tackles, and yes. Dominican Sue and Gerald McCoy.
And you know doggone well, Bradford and Clawson, because they're quarterbacks, are always going to be overdrafted. Just like, you know, we called it a year ago with Sanchez, and everyone said, no, not Sanchez.
Well, because there were so many questions about him coming
out. Number four overall, and that worked out pretty well for the Jets, including the trade.
Number 5 overall.
5, okay.
Yeah, 5. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More talk about the draft, the combine, where Vic will be next week, and some interesting thoughts on free agency and what it means heading into an uncapped year. By the way, there will be a bowling fundraiser for Alex Ross, the young man who was shot over on the west side. This Sunday, 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Cassett Bowl, you'll have a chance to win door prizes, and there'll be several raffle items. For more information for the bowling fundraiser for Alex Ross, 545-4908. That's 545-4908. We break and return with more Jaguars this week, right after this.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along here on a Wednesday evening. Cold. Supposed to be cold throughout the rest of the week. But we've got plenty of talk about the NFL, which is starting to heat up. 355-NFL1.
Brian, one more thing on the coin toss. And this is something that I find intriguing and is another reason why this coin toss is important. Even though it's a coin toss between the Jaguars and the Broncos, who have the Bears pick for the Cutler deal.
Right.
Miami is in this 9-7 logjam too. It's just they're not in the coin toss. So, if the Jaguars were to lose this coin toss, they will only draft in the 10th spot in a round one time in the draft, the fifth round. Here's why. If they were to lose the coin toss, the Broncos will draft 10th overall in the first round, Jaguars 11. The Jaguars would then draft number 10 in round two, but they don't have a second round pick.
Gave it up for the right to draft Derek Cox.
The Dolphins will draft number 10 in the third round.
Okay.
The Broncos will draft number 10 in the fourth round. The Jaguars will draft number 5. I will draft number 10 in the fifth round. And they don't have a seventh round pick, right? Do I have that right?
No, they gave up the seventh round pick to trade for the quarterback.
Or maybe it's
McCown.
I think I've got the order right. All I know is they would only draft in the 10 spot once.
The whole way.
So this would really be fortunate for them to win the coin toss, because they would draft 10 in round one. They would draft 10 in round three. You see what I mean? They would draft 10 in round five. Am I right?
Right.
Let's see, 10? No. No, I'm not right.
No, you're off.
1-4, 1-4. They would get it twice. They'd get it 1-4.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the draft, clearly it would be advantageous to win that coin toss.
What are you looking forward to most?
From a value standpoint.
What are you looking forward to most about going back to the combine?
I don't know.
I mean, is there something in particular that you saw that you...
Yeah, it's pretty dull stuff.
Do you watch?
No. We're not allowed in.
No, you're not.
No. It's just talk to the people who are allowed to watch, and then watch on NFL Network. I like the interviews. I'll tell you, the highlight for me is talking to Gene Smith and Terry McDonough, talking to the Jaguars personnel guys. They were very revealing last year. I had a meeting with Gene Smith at 6 o'clock in the morning at a Starbucks. The morning after, I had a meeting with my deep throat at midnight at a Steak and Shake. You didn't
really
know? Oh, I had a deep throat.
Who's your deep throat?
No. I know. Tell. It cost me like $13. He ate it up pretty good at the Steak and Shake.
I know who it is.
But
see
I was.
You later, Logan.
Oh yeah. I was. So I got. I had a midnight meeting at a Steak and Shake.
Little subterfuge.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like Woodward or Bernstein or both.
Right, I like that. Hustled home, got a little sleep, met GM Gene at 6 a.m. at Starbucks.
Wow.
Gene was great. Terry McDonough was great last year. They just...
Any of the names that they discussed with you then turn out to be draft picks? And you don't have to share who they were. Just curious if any of those initial responses from Indianapolis carried all the way through to the draft and they were able to make the move.
Well, see, they really believed that Eugene Monroe would be gone. I mean, there was no question that they would not have a shot at him. They were lusting after Sanchez because they thought that he might make it down to them, and he was perceived as great value at 8.
Yes.
He was perceived to be great value at 8. So they thought there was a chance he would make it down. They had no chance. They had no hope of Eugene Monroe making it down. As it turned out, he was great value at 8, and he really was. He's going to be a good player. There's no doubt in my mind. the names. I know that Gene was hot on Beanie Wells. He really liked him.
Coming out of the combine in February, he had a good move on him.
I remember talking to Gene at that 6 o'clock, that 6 a.m. meeting. That was the day that the running backs ran. So, and Gene was really, he was anxious to see how he and the kid from Georgia, Knowshon Moreno, would run. Moreno ran bad, and Wells ran subpar. As it turned out, Wells better that time at his pro day and personal day workouts.
And still slid down the board. Moreno went pretty quick.
Oh, you know, and Wells really, really fell down the board, and the Cardinals got a plum pick. Wells would have been a great pick for the Jaguars at pick eight. There's no doubt in my mind.
355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the program, 355-6351. Trevor joins us from Montreal with the thought on free agency, what it will be or what it won't be. Hello, Trevor. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I was just calling because, when I read the other day that they released or cut Torrey Holt, I just was wondering if it was just a confidence thing in their young receivers or if you thought they felt that they could go and get someone better in free agency.
You know,
good question.
Everybody wants. I mean, they want an answer here, and I won't speak for everybody else, but I'll speak for me. I hate to give it. Do you know what the answer is? I mean, do you really want me to say it? What do you think the answer is, caller?
He's just not that great anymore.
There you go. See,
yeah.
This is a guy I really like. This is a guy I really respect, but no touchdowns. Just doesn't get it done.
Yeah. Trevor, I really think that, you know, what did Torrey catch? 53?
52, 53. About
720.
Yeah,
a good year.
Yeah, I mean, a good year.
Mm-hmm.
But do you further delay the development of the young players that you have on your roster by keeping a guy like that who still a good player but no longer a great player?
Right.
You know, so do you delay the development for a good player? No. I mean, for a great player, oh, absolutely. You know, you got to wait until he's not a great player anymore. But, I mean, I'm with you.
When the speed is
Torrey's
gone.
A great guy.
Yeah, love
the
him.
Speed's not there.
That's right.
And where you really noticed it at times was when Torrey tried to come out of his break sometime, he just didn't have the legs.
The explosion isn't there.
No.
And, you know, and I'm getting this question over and over, and I want to answer it. Are you really going to make me say it? I mean, can we just understand that after 12 years in the league, you're closer to the end than you are to the beginning?
Well, and the same kind of applies to Trey. If I had to have a left tackle for one game, Eugene Monroe, Trey Thomas, I'd take Trey Thomas.
But not next year. Not next year. Eugene's ready to go.
No, I'm talking about for one game.
And the one game was the Titans game here in week four.
No, and it doesn't matter what game it is.
All right.
My point is that Trey Thomas has lost the durability part of his game.
Right.
He can't get his body ready to play week in and week out. And when a player can't do that, it's time to either retire or to be a backup somewhere else.
You know, media guys, reporters are in a tough spot here. Now, let me give you an example.
By the way, Holt, 51 catches, 722 yards, okay. Touchdowns.
A credible year. But here's why reporters are in a tough spot, folks. We all saw at the end of training camp that Trey Thomas his back was being held together with baling wire. I mean, he was suffering.
Do you know what baling wire is?
I was impressed that you used that reference.
I am too.
Very
you
impressed.
You really do.
For a guy from Pittsburgh to know baling wire.
Well, it's a phrase.
But, right. I mean, do you really know what baling wire is?
Yeah.
Okay.
For hay and stuff like that?
Yeah. It was just impressive. I mean, that's just not your comfort zone.
I read.
It's acceptable.
You do read.
Okay. It's not really for hay, but go ahead.
Okay. I'll let you explain that.
No, but anyway, I mean, I'm just
impressed. His back, and he was suffering.
But your analogy is right on the money, because baling wire is used to fix almost anything.
Right. Wrap it up like duct tape.
Yeah.
Like duct tape.
There
all
you
right?
go. Before Murray Ranch, you're right.
Trey was being held together with duct tape. I mean, he but you see, as reporters, we can't say that because the coach is going to be down our throats. You know, what are you doing? We let you out there to watch practice, and now you're going to give information to the enemy? You see what I
Absolutely.
Mean? It's understood that you won't write about practice. This is one of the great yin and yangs we have of the internet generation, because you see, we got fans sitting in the seats saying, and then he ran this pattern, and then he ran that pattern, and they threw this, and they did that, and then did this, and on and on and on. Every every play of every practice
in training camp.
And it goes on the message board.
Right.
But if we do that, the coach is down our throat saying, hey, what are you providing scouting reports to the opposition? You see, we agree that we're not going to do that. So we can't tell you that the guy is struggling to make it through a practice. We try to send the signal in other ways, but the reader doesn't often want to just pick up on the signal. He wants to put his fingers in the nail holes, right. And we can't provide the nail holes.
By the way, last week, Joe, I thought we made great progress in that Vic actually called the callers by their name, Brian.
Brian's head is in the way. I can't see it now.
It's not that my head is big. It's just in the way.
The entire show, he called the callers by their first name. What do you got against Canadians?
What are you talking about?
Trevor's from Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Bring Trevor back up. Mm-hmm. Is Trevor still there? Trevor, you still there?
I'm here.
I call Trevor when I'm sitting in that seat because I can see the monitor.
You were sitting there.
He always calls me Trevor on Jaguars Monday every week.
Right.
You guys catch any of the Olympics?
What's that thing they do where they brush the ice and the thing rolls down?
Curling.
Curling. I just watched
curling.
It.
That's painful.
Trevor, unfortunately, every time I've turned it on, it's been figure skating, and I have turned the channel immediately.
Now, if there was one thing that you could turn on, what would it be?
Any skiing event.
All right. I
love the ski jumping. Event.
The ski jumping thing is the thing that turns me on.
The skiing event, the luge, the bobsled, the racing skating, but you know the ballerina stuff on ice, you know, with guys wearing tights, it doesn't do it for me.
You? I mean, if there's one thing you can go find,
I love the downhill skiing.
Yeah.
You know, where they just go straight down, and the camera shots they show are just frightening. These guys are going 80 miles an hour.
Did you see any of the
on
moguls?
Two pieces mm-hmm. of wood?
Did you see any of the mogul competition? I mean, it's on a short course, so they've
got
a camera that's mounted, and it goes with
it. It's good for the knees.
Holy they need to introduce snowmobiling.
Oh,
like snowmobiles going around an oval like NASCAR?
Now, that mogul's where Canada.
Oh, holy.
Yeah.
Like NASCAR.
Yeah.
Now, you just hit on something right there.
How about ski and shoot? He'd be good for that.
They have
that's
that.
The biathlon.
Yeah. He'd be good at that.
Ski and shoot. The shooting part.
Yeah.
Right. If you could pull him. If you could be that sled dog
giant
for him.
Giant guy coming
through
the snow.
They need to have a new one. Snowmobiling and shooting.
I like the idea of snowmobiling. NASCAR and guns. There's a mix
right
for
up
you.
My alley.
There's a mix. How about you, Joe?
I'm sure Trevor already knows this, but yeah, the moguls where Canada finally got their first gold.
Their gold medal.
On home ice.
But man, did they. That guy was going so freaking fast.
Trevor, can you ski moguls?
I can ski moguls, but I can't do the aerials that they do. I watched that. I thought it was by far the best event you're going to see in the Olympics until what I think will be Canada-Russia final gold medal game, and I think that'll be one of the best hockey games you've ever seen.
How about an event shooting from a tree stand? You know, killing from a tree stand.
I'm in.
a lot of courage in that, you know.
You could make it a biathlon of sorts. You shoot from the tree stand, and then you see if you can spit and hit the target with mm-hmm. your dip.
Or then you run down and you jump on a sled, and you see how fast you can throw the deer on the back and get back to the skin and shed. How about that?
We'll call it a decathlon, and then you have to shed it, and you have to cook it, too. All right, with that, we're going to take a break. Trev, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We're a little overdue for news here at the bottom of the hour.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. 20 minutes left in the program this evening. Fortunato, Loggeman, Ketchman, Sexton, you, if you choose to join us, 355-NFL-1. All right, free agency then, which starts in just a matter of weeks, but will it really start this year? I mean, everyone's talking about Julius Peppers. Because he's in that
interesting area. Yeah, I want to turn to Jeff on this. Yeah. What's Julius Peppers got left?
You know, it only takes one team to like him. But
I mean, he's going to get big money.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, would you?
The Redskins will do it.
Would
Albert
you
Haynes
give him big money?
No, there's no chance.
I wouldn't give him big money.
But teams will. The Redskins will. Other teams will.
Sure. Somebody's going to do it.
Uncapped year.
Somebody's going to do it, and most likely the Redskins would fall into that category. But a guy whose motor is a question, you don't pay big money for. And that's always been the question mark with him. Whether he's been hurt or healthy, it doesn't matter.
Okay, another guy, Kyle Vandenbosch. What's he got left? Hasn't had a good year since 07.
Well, he had the groin injury in 08, and then this past year, you know, the new coach, no Albert Haynesworth, he didn't look the same. He looked kind of like the player that was trying to get back from the groin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That looked like he looked in 08. But would he be a guy, certainly not a big money guy, but a guy that you'd want to have some caution? In other words, not a lot of guaranteed money, but maybe a lot of bigger money.
He's gonna get big money.
No, he's gonna. But I mean, is he a guy you're gonna? Would I pay big money for him?
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Okay.
Based on what Albert Haynesworth got and what Albert Haynesworth delivered, and I mean,
but I love his motor.
Yes,
you never question.
Would he be a right defensive end for this team or a left defensive end?
He flipped sides for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Whichever side he would be comfortable on wouldn't matter to me.
All right, Albert Haynesworth in 2007 and 2008. I mean, you thought he was the most dominant defensive player you'd ever seen.
By far.
Okay. He got $100 million, 40 of it guaranteed. What did he deliver? Not much.
No, he did.
In Washington?
Oh yeah, he did. He was still one of the most dominant players in the league, bar none, playing on a bad team.
Okay, but that defense didn't take a significant step forward.
No,
of him, did it?
But, you know... Did they? One of the things that they used him a little differently, but Albert Haynesworth still the most dominant defensive tackle in the game. Period. It's not even a discussion.
Okay, I'm not taking that away. But remember now what happened with the Titans this year without him. We didn't see that kick to the Redskins with him, did we? And I guess the reason I bring that up is, will Julius Peppers, with that kind of money, will he be able to do anything that would value the money?
He wouldn't do anything close to what Albert Haynesworth could do.
Okay, because they're talking about him getting a Haynesworth kind of deal.
By the way, you asked me in the first half hour about names I remember from last year's combine that the Jaguars personnel people were, you know, talking about that were on their radar, and I just remembered a few things. Gene Smith loved LeSean McCoy, and
the running back from Pitt that's an Eagle now.
What I love about Gene is that he disciplined himself last year to go with the unsexy pick, Evan Britton. He knew he needed big guys. He knew that Evan Britton was here on his board, was at the top of his board. And even though he had this affection for LeSean McCoy and the playmaker that he can be, he disciplined himself to go with the unsexy pick. Another name. Last year, a lot of fans were talking about B.J. Raji.
Yeah,
oh, Jaguars,
tackle.
Could you be, you know, all right.
Went to the Packers.
He was a persona non grata on the Jaguars board. Character flaws. And they disciplined themselves to believe in their board, trust their board, and not pick B.J. Raji. And B.J. Raji, was he not a bust? Was he not a major disappointment for the Packers?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think he was a disappointment for them, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think he was, but...
He wasn't Terrence Knighton.
No.
No. He wasn't Terrence Knighton, but, you know, just like Marcus Stroud, you know, sometimes the big guys take a couple years developing, and Raji, from what I had read, and I may be wrong, but I thought I read somewhere that he was coming on.
Okay.
But Terrence Knighton, clearly... maybe the league's most valuable defensive tackle at rookie, as far as rookies go.
The other thing with Raji was he was making the move from a 4-3 tackle at BC to a 3-4
nose
tackle.
Yeah, the drug thing kind of going on, too.
The potential to screw it up was there. You could have gone for B.J. Raji instead of Terrence Knighton. You could have gone for LeSean McCoy instead of Evan Britton. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with LeSean McCoy, but tackles... are, you know, you've got a corner.
Premium.
You're a premium.
And so defensive ends, pass rushers,
right.
Same way. But let me ask you this to go back to free agency for a minute, because this, I think, is a valid question for this team going forward. You remember last year, they didn't have a tackle, left tackle.
Right.
They didn't have a wide receiver.
Right.
They didn't have, what other position did they sign? A safety.
Right.
So they go out and they sign Trey Thomas, Sean Considine, Torrey Holt.
Do they have such a position this
Where's
year?
Where's the holes for this year?
Well, you tell me. Where do you see
them? I don't know. I mean,
well, safety is where you would obviously point your finger.
Defensive end.
And defensive end, no question.
But you're not going to get those guys in free agency without paying for them.
But there's a lot of guys that they have at the safety position, though, now.
Yeah, and you still, you can find safeties, bargain guys, get lucky with them without paying a big buck, not defensive end. Not defensive end.
But that's to me, that's interesting. Where are the holes this year?
Defensive end and safety.
Well, the whole philosophy then changes. I mean, last year they were patches, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year you're going with young guys who have matured into that role.
Yeah, but center. But the free agent acquisitions last year were clear voids.
Right.
Right.
You didn't have a left tackle. Khalif was gone. You didn't have a wide receiver. Reggie and Matt, they're all gone.
You don't have those holes.
Safety, sense of ball had left to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
The question is then, do you even play in free agency this year, knowing what's coming, and not needing to fill like you did last year? Is free agency even really on the Jaguars' radar screen? Hold the thought. We have to break for news. Our last break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Jaguars and potential approaches to free agency.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. About 7-8 minutes left in the program. We're going to talk about free agency here for just a moment. And it's really the last couple of years with the salary cap hasn't gone away, but teams don't have trouble getting under the cap anymore. And so as a result, they keep their own players. So free agency has not been the smorgasbord that it was back in 95, 6, 7, 8, 9, right?
Yeah, I think the Jaguars will sign an unrestricted free agent defensive end, Reggie Hayward.
Okay, their own guy.
That'd be a good signing.
Keep their own guy. But in turn, the big picture now, not just Jaguars particularly, but league specifically, you would think that free agency is really not going to be an event this year, wouldn't you?
Well, here's the problem.
Because you got a whole class of them that aren't getting there.
Guys who would be unrestricted free agents in the prime of their career, meaning four-year guys in
Maurice
years
Drew,
four,
if he
five,
a new year,
exactly,
new
are going to be restricted free agents this year.
Right.
So the unrestricted free agents are largely going to be guys over the hill.
Right. Guys with at least 6 years in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be some six-year guys, and you're going to say, okay, He's right in the middle of his career, if I'm lucky, you know. But
that's usually the prime.
But yeah, the prime years of a guy's career are considered to be years 4 through 7. All right. So if you sign a guy who's 6 years, you're getting him right at the end of his prime. Whereas a Leon Searcy, in 1996, he was drafted in 92, 92, 93, 94, 95. He was right in the prime.
Well, and he didn't play his first year.
That's right.
So he had no miles that year.
So he was right in the early prime of his career.
Well, the pool has been, it shrunk, okay?
Yeah.
Because you got those guys who don't qualify now for free agency. And the league doesn't have problems keeping their own players now, right? Because most of the teams are under the cap. So free agency really is non-existent, isn't it?
It's not what it was.
Right.
Oh,
it's not what it was.
Yeah. Clint Ingram would be an unrestricted free agent in a normal year. This year he's going to be a restricted free agent.
Right. So it's really, I mean, it's not going to have the watch to it. I mean, everyone's looking at Julius Peppers. And then even then, that final eight plan that comes into effect where the final eight teams in the playoffs, you're familiar with that, obviously, they're restricted as to what they can do. And you're talking about a couple of big money teams in Dallas.
They can't sign a guy until they lose a guy. If they lose a running back, they can sign a running back.
Right.
Or any position equal to that dollar amount.
Yeah, but the rules get really, I mean, they get really deep here. So I'm just giving you the
cusp of it.
The very rudimentary part of the rules.
But essentially you're taking what? 25% of the league and saying now they're not going to be players.
Have you heard any of them complain?
No. No, they wrote the rules.
That tells you all you need to know about free agency.
Yeah, it's pretty much
Bill Polian would be screaming bloody murder if he thought it hurt his chances to upgrade his roster, and I haven't heard a word from him, which means that the free agent crop is crap.
By the way, did you see the quip from the governor of Indiana?
No.
He and the governor of Louisiana were going back and forth about the fact that the Saints flag is going to hang at the top of the Indy State House there in Indianapolis, and the governor of Indiana said, oh, by the way, the day that we run it up the flagpole, I'll also be conducting a seminar on how to cover an onside kick on the front lawn.
Ooh.
He took a little shot at the hometown team.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Yeah. For a politician.
But the guy was there. He just didn't catch the ball. Basket, Hank Basket. He's a wide receiver, too. I mean, come on.
He was a Philadelphia Eagle. That was his problem.
Ex-Eagle. I was surprised to hear you guys say something about a free agent signing. Pleasantly surprised. You think Heyday's got stuff left in the tank?
Absolutely.
He's one of the smartest football players I've ever covered.
Nine seasons?
Counts for something. You can get things done with your brain.
What is Reggie?
Been around like 9 years.
Well, he was a fifth-year player when he came here.
He's been your best defensive end since he's been here, when he's been healthy.
Right.
When he's been on the field.
He missed all of the 2006 season, right?
Achilles.
Yeah, the Achilles. Now, he popped the Achilles. He came here in 2005.
It was like game one, wasn't it?
He popped the Achilles against the Cowboys opening day.
Came back in 2007, wasn't quite the same. Came back in 2008, and we were expecting big things. Maybe it was 2007 he did the Achilles.
No, it was 2006 because it was opening day against the Cowboys in 2006.
Okay. Right.
That's when he popped the Achilles.
By the way, Brian, we must mention before the show expires tonight.
Go ahead.
That we are in the company of one of the Jaguars' all-time team members. Jeff was voted by the fans, not by Vic.
I saw
that. Voted by the fans.
Way to go, what a teammate you are.
I got to do something for Paul Spicer. He played 9 years for this team, 9 years for one of the most underrated players in this team's history.
Very good football player.
Jeff was elected by the fans as one of the two all-time best Jaguars defensive ends.
By the way, did he stick with the Saints all the way through the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he was there with them in the Super Bowl, so he got a ring.
Good for him.
You know,
good for him to get one at the end.
I'm happy for him. But by the way,
Vic,
you know, I was looking at that list. Somebody told me about that, and when did it come out?
Tuesday.
I didn't see it until today.
Okay.
And somebody told me, a birdie whispered in my ear, said, what's Vic got against you? And I said, you know, no big deal. And I went and looked at the team, and you like kissed butt with the fans on everything except for me.
Yeah,
you got a problem?
Oh,
boy, you got a problem with me?
We could spice this thing up real quick here at the end of February. So
I thought it made for good radio.
Yeah. Until the microphone came flying across the.
Just be careful where you sit next week.
You won't be here.
Are you surprised when I tell you that Paul Spicer played for this team for 9 years?
I am.
No. 9 years.
But I remember the first game he ever played. It was in Dallas in that overtime game, if you remember it.
He played longer for this team than Boselli did.
You had a great line about Paul Spicer, about how he played the game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great line, one of the all-time great lines.
What did I say?
How does Paul Spicer play the game? Like there's something outside waiting for him.
Yeah.
You said this. You were the first one that I ever heard say this. You said that Paul Spicer, and this is no offense to people that are in this business, he said Paul Spicer played the game like there was a garbage truck
right
outside ready for him
right
to take this other job.
Right. He
Nothing
was
against that.
No.
But he played the game.
He
hungry.
Was not above. He was not above professional football.
And we'll leave it with that. You'll be in the combine?
Yep.
Next week?
Can't wait.
All right, folks. Have a great week.